Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The OK Mozart Festival kicks off this Friday for 8 days of a variety of musical events, from headliners jazz bassist Esperanza Spalding, the Carolina Chocolate Drops, the Alloy Orchestra, the Chamber Music All-Stars, young artist groups, the Amphion String Quartet and Hockey, as well as musicians from all over northeastern Oklahoma and the surrounding region who perform showcase events. But, of course, the mainstay of the festival is the Amici New York Orchestra, which has been a part of the festival since its first creation in the 1980s. My guests today are members of that orchestra, longtime orchestra manager, violist Adria Benjamin. She's joined by three of her colleagues, violinist Bob Zubricki and Sebu Sarinian, and cellist Adam Gravois. Today they join us to give us an insider's look at the festival and why this festival in the town of Bartlesville is so special to them, as well as play a little Mozart for us today on Studio Tulsa. Gentlemen and lady, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. We're really happy to be here. Thank you.
And of course, this is, for many of you, it's a yearly part of your calendar coming here to Bartlesville for the OK Mozart Festival. And this is something interesting for a lot of sort of freelance musicians who are going from place to place. It's like the first couple of weeks of June, it's all about Bartlesville.
Well, it's more than just the first couple of weeks of June, because for many of us, this is probably the most gratifying part of our career calendar every year. We come together and we come to a place that we love, where we have established a great history. We're going into season 28, which is a long time. And many of us were actually part of the orchestra when we first came through Bartlesville on a community concert tour more than 30 years ago.
And you found this wonderful, crazy concert hall out in the middle of Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
It was really a funny story. I'll take a minute. We were on a community concert tour that was not one of the more successful ones because of the concert venues that we were playing in.
Did you play any gyms?
We played gyms. We played high schools. And the acoustical qualities of these venues was just particularly poor on that one tour. And we pulled into Bartlesville. And probably not a one of us had ever heard of Bartlesville before or made the association with then Phillips Petroleum. And the venue had opened only maybe less than a year before. And the bus took us right there rather than taking us to the hotel because we were short on time. Usually we get on the bus and you go to the new town and you go to the hotel and you kind of freshen up, then go to the hall, do a sound check, and do the concert. But on this particular trip, we went directly to the hall. You couldn't even get a sense of it from the back, the loading dock, where we obviously went in through the loading dock. And to a person, we walked out on stage, and it was like when The Wizard of Oz in the movie where it goes from black and white to color. Like, these looks of wonder appeared on everybody's face, and everyone slowly pulled out their instrument and started strolling around the stage, individually warming up. And we all collectively looked at each other and thought we had died and gone to heaven, because after 2 weeks or even almost 3 weeks on the road, we really did land in a little piece of heaven in the Bartlesville Community Center Concert Hall, which it was a fabulous venue.
And I hear from musicians all the time who talk about the acoustics of this particular hall. Is it really that good?
It is that good. And what's interesting also is the way it feels when you look out from the stage to the audience, the way the building is actually constructed. There's no center aisle. So you kind of feel enveloped by the audience, you know, kind of swinging around you in a sense and hugged in some way. And it's really great to sit on a stage. I'm a violist, and so I always say that I usually have the best seat in the house because I get to sit right smack in the middle. But I can hear from side to side, from one side of the stage to the other, everything very clearly. And you'd be surprised on how many concert hall stages you can't do this, where you sit and you really can't hear what's going on your left or your right or what's going on behind you. But here you get all the information, and it's very balanced.
And I found, and you gentlemen, please chime in, is a lot of times you might be able to hear very well on stage, but it doesn't sound all that great in the hall, or it sounds great in the hall, but there are places on stage where you literally can't hear the person two seats down from you.
Right. Well, I was saying, Bob? We have the pleasure during the OK Mozart Festival, when the times we're not rehearsing or performing ourselves, there are a lot of incredible events going on, the chamber music concerts as well as other visiting artists. So we attend a lot of these performances, and the acoustics are great from an audience perspective all the way to the back of the hall, which is unusual. It feels good on stage. It's a very warm sound, and it also sounds great to the audience.
And Adam, you were going to jump in there.
That's right. I was just going to say that oftentimes when you're on stage, maybe it does feel good, as you said. And by feel good, I mean that it sounds good. It sounds accurate to us and pleasant and flattering. But then in the hall, maybe it sounds a little different. But actually what we're doing sounds very good to us. And then the hall adds a certain magic to the sound, kind of a bloom and a resonance. That's what we would hope for.
Yeah, it's just the right amount of reverb.
Exactly.
I mean, that's you know, too much reverb and it sounds muddy, too little and it's dry and
right.
A lot of times brittle.
Right. So it's also a great place to record in.
You know, I've noticed from my trips up to Bartlesville, a lot of times even when you guys are done rehearsing, sections will get together and just sort of, or solo instrument will go out and just say, you know, I just want to play in this all.
It's just a pleasure to be in there playing.
We actually have to kind of fight for time when we're there, because I know often the viola section wants to get together and run through some things that might be a little tricky and have a better sense. And we all have to negotiate the stage time, you know, to see who's going to get out there and have it. But it is, I mean, it was Northeast Oklahoma, you know, has some great concert venues. I know you have some here in Tulsa as well. And that was really fantastic to fall into this. And now, 28, 30 years later, to be returning to it each year, it's a relationship, and it's a very intimate and cherished relationship. And it really, I know that I've said this a million times, but I think that Bob and Adam and Sabu and everybody in Amici would echo this, that Bartlesville, the OK Mozart Festival, and this region of Oklahoma truly is our home away from home. Mm. And we don't just think of it like, you know, 2 weeks before we come down. We are focusing on this throughout our concert season, whether we're planning our repertoire, whether we're discussing rehearsal schedule, or, you know, when we're going to go to Dink's or Bad Grads or try to grab something delicious down at Brookside or something. Yeah. You know, we're talking about it all the time.
Now, Adri, you've been here all 28 years.
I have.
Now,
I'm a lifer.
Gentlemen, are you lifers or
schedules? I think I'm the new guy because I've only been here for 12 years.
12 years. Cebu?
Yeah, well, pretty close. I don't know if you'd call it a lifer, but some 20-some years I lost count. I think we started coming in 1990 or 91. Uh-huh. Sometime around there. So it's been a while.
So there's not too many openings in the orchestra to come down here very often, is there?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
And there have been moments. Look, obviously, for 28 years, that's a life cycle. You know, it's a generation. So there have been moments where people have not been able to come due to birth of children. And often, you know, some people will have to make decisions about they've gotten a special offer to do the Barbra Streisand tour, or to go to Europe to do something, or something great. They have a solo part in American Ballet Theater. So they have to sit down and weigh, you know, what the right decision is for them.
Now, Bob, you didn't mention, how long have you been coming here?
I started coming out here in 1994.
1994.
So, it's been a while for me, too.
Now, you're talking about how this is a focus for a while. When do you start preparing as an orchestra and as chamber players for these appearances in Bartlesville? It's not like you get together and say, okay, let's rehearse it up and play it. Now, maybe some of the orchestra programs are like that, but certainly a lot of the chamber music, there's work done ahead of time.
Right, and for the chamber musicians, Paul Neubauer organizes that, and Paul very carefully plans the programs and the rehearsal schedule, and they work up at the Lincoln Center Chamber, their facility in the Rose Building at Lincoln Center.
But for the orchestra?
Programs. For the orchestra, depending on who the guest conductors are and who the guest artists are, sometimes we can rehearse in New York, but sometimes we can't due to scheduling and travel. We have to do all our work down here. So it just depends. We go year to year by repertoire and guest artist schedule.
And, of course, I would think finding rehearsal time in New York is at a premium because all of you are very, very busy.
Right.
And I just want to give a sense for people who don't understand sort of the freelance New York life. How many orchestras are each of you in? You're in what, three or four?
More than that.
More than that.
Yeah, I'd say more than
and
that.
And then some of us play Broadway, and I teach at Manus College, and we're all pretty busy.
Yeah, you sort of lose count after a while or don't even keep track. You just try to keep busy and have a varied musical life. And
So in many ways, this is kind of like a mini vacation. One, you're out of the city, and two, you're in one place.
I would not use the word vacation. We need a vacation afterwards. It's a very intense time when you're here rehearsing and performing. And
give us a sense of the musician's schedule.
Well, we'll have at least two rehearsals a day. And even this year, because of the repertoire choices and due to people's schedule, there are a couple of days. I'm revealing something now that Bob and Sabu and Adam don't know quite yet, where we'll have two rehearsals and a concert. So it's, I mean, that's the day right there. Plus, you have your own practice time. And everybody needs a little bit of downtime, you know, and people still have their favorites about what they like to do with that downtime. I know that the Price Tower, everyone always wants to go there and see what the latest exhibit is, and just walking around town and trying to relax or taking a swim, whatever, going to the gym. So with two rehearsals and a concert in one day, that's pretty much it, you know.
Tell us what you're going to be playing this year. How many concerts will the Amici New York Orchestra be doing this
year? Well, we're doing three programs, four concerts, with the last one being on our Oklahoma City.
Yeah, this is a new addition going down to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, this is the second year for that series. We're opening up on the Wednesday evening, June 13th, with a program of Mendelssohn, Meyer, and Mozart. We're opening with the lovely overture to Midsummer Night's Dream, lovely effervescent overture to the music that Mendelssohn wrote for that. And then Edgar Meyer, the phenomenal bassist and composer, is playing his brand new bass concerto, which he just recently premiered with the Alabama Symphony. He is the composer in residence with the Alabama Symphony this year. So we're thrilled to have the chance to bring it to this part of the country. So he'll be playing that with us. I think he's also performing with the chamber players as well. And then, very exciting, we're doing the Mozart Requiem, which has not been done at the festival since 1986. So this is really a wonderful, wonderful event for us. And such you as a trombonist, you know.
Yeah, well, the trombonists do get a nice little part there.
So tuba mirum, you know.
Yeah.
And we're being joined by our friends in the Bartlesville Choral Society, which is conducted by Susan Mueller, Barry Epperly's sister.
That's right, a wonderful choral conductor.
And also from the Stillwater Chorale.
So that'd be nice. It's nice to do those choral pieces, and that Requiem hadn't been done in a number of years.
A long time, and we have four just absolutely superb vocal soloists coming. And James Bagwell, who Tulsa concertgoers might know from his conducting at Tulsa Light Opera, is a colleague of ours up in New York, and we work quite a bit with him through the Collegiate Chorale up in New York and some events with the American Symphony Orchestra and up at Bard College. We'll be conducting that concert, so he conducted last year, and we invited him back, and I think it's going to be a fantastic concert.
Now, I'm going to get some others to chime in here. When you see a new piece like the Edgar Meyer Concerto, this is something you've never seen before. Is there any difference in preparing for that particular piece as opposed to a piece that you know and you know?
Well, I can answer that for myself. When I look at my schedule, you know, the months coming up, and I see that there's a new piece coming up, in planning my repertoire, you know, I'll budget more time to learn the music for that. I've played, I don't know how many times I've played the Mozart Requiem, quite a few, which doesn't mean, you know,
you can
just
off,
sit down
right?
and play it, but it'll be more familiar to me and won't require quite as much time.
Yeah, and certainly we would like to study the score to see who, what the other parts are doing, especially if it's a modern piece like this, and a little more jazz-based, I would imagine. And yeah, it does take a little extra time, certainly.
Bob and Sabu, I just want to mention that Bob and Sabu, as concertmaster and principal second violin, have the additional responsibility of having received the music from our librarian in advance and making changes in any of the bowings and consulting with each other to try and get all of that work organized before our first rehearsal so we could be really efficient with our rehearsal time.
And of course, rehearsal time is always a premium.
Totally. Totally at a premium.
Couple hours, maybe an hour for that piece, hour
and
a half?
Well, we'll have, for that particular program, we'll have three-hour rehearsals. So the Mendelssohn, being a familiar piece, will probably get the least amount of rehearsal time. I would imagine that Edgar's piece will get the most. The coordination with two different choirs coming together with the orchestra, that will take some time as well. But one of the best qualities that a conductor can have is rehearsal technique and budgeting rehearsal time correctly. And James is very good at that, so I'm not worried.
We're joined by members of the Amici New York String Quartet, Adria Benjamin, the violist, who has been, you've been the orchestra manager for many years, right?
Yeah.
And then also Adam Gravoy, cellist, Bob Zubricki, and Sabu Sarinian, our violinist, and they're joining us today on Studio Tulsa. Well, before we go any further, I think we should hear a little music. You guys brought your instruments today. What are we going to hear?
Oh, I'll let Bob talk about it because he's the expert here.
Well, when Adria talked about programming for this trip, I thought, well, it is a Mozart festival after all, and let's do a little Mozart. So this is an early Mozart string quartet. It's a Kirschel number 156. And it was a group of quartets that was written while he was traveling in Milan, Italy. He was writing an opera there, and he put together these quartets at the same time. Very talented young kid. He was 16 at the time.
All right. Well, here's the Amici New York String Quartet. That's the Amici New York String Quartet playing music by Mozart here on Studio Tulsa, a little in-studio concert in our little studio here today. I'm joined by Adria Benjamin, Adam Gravois, Bob Zabricki, and Cebu Serenian, who are the members and principal players, I would think.
No, not all of us.
Not all of it. Okay. But,
two
violins are principals. And the Michi New York String Quartet, which are members of the orchestra. Now, you guys get the chance to play chamber music in addition at the festival, or is the orchestra taking up all the time?
The orchestra schedule as it is really kind of doesn't allow for that, unfortunately. We have two of our musicians, Lois Martin, who is our principal violist, and Kathleen Nestor, our principal flute player, will be joining in Hockey, which is a chamber music group that plays showcase concerts at the festival. So they'll have a chance to play some, I believe they're playing Zwillich and Jennifer Higdon as well. They're joining in Hockey for that. And really, the chamber music series is so wonderful with Paul Neubauer and his colleagues, Fred Cherry, and everyone that comes down, Peter Wiley. So
now, is that something when you're working all the time in New York, I would imagine the last thing you'd want to do when you have free time is go hear something else. Maybe not. But is this a good time to hear things, or are you guys so busy with your own rehearsal schedules that you don't really get a chance to hear?
When there's any gap in our schedule, you'll find a lot of us at the concerts of our colleagues. We don't want to miss them, and it's a chance to hear them and really enjoy their repertoire and their playing.
And the nice thing also for us, being that we stay right in downtown Bartlesville, everything is so close. So when we're home, it's a little more of an effort sometimes to get to all these things. So I think you will find more of us attending concerts because it's all right there.
Yeah, and of course, we haven't really talked about the chamber series, but that's one of the nice things about it, the little mini concerts. This year, I think it's going to focus on Schumann, Robert Schumann's music.
Vienna.
Yeah, in Vienna.
Right.
There'll be also the chamber series will be interesting because not often do you hear vocalists and chamber music together, and this year there'll be some songs and then some chamber music together, sort of a real salons type of atmosphere for this year's festival.
Their big concert on Tuesday evening, June 12th, is called Vienna, City of My Dreams, and it will feature Edgar Meyer and some wonderful vocalists. And then throughout the week, there is the morning mini concert, and then there is also they have afternoon concerts as well. I believe that everything is taking place at the Bartlesville High School this year, which also remarkably has this wonderful concert hall in the music wing. I always tell students, I came down in March and I spoke with almost every single music class throughout the Bartlesville School District, and I start out my whole spiel by telling them how lucky they are to have had that wing built on the Bartlesville High School with the fantastic facilities that it has there. Professional quality facilities.
And that's something OK Mozart's been doing in recent years. You've sort of, the festival's certainly the centerpiece, but now groups come down and come into various locations around the state throughout the year now.
Well, we haven't been able to do that every year, but it's something that I personally push for because being a music educator myself and really having been brought to music through the music education system when I was growing up in New York City, that's how I started. Somebody stuck a recorder in my hands and then a few years later stuck a viola under my chin and said, okay, see what you can do with this. And that was it,
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very fortunate that I was exposed to that through my public school system. Unfortunately, as we all know, that type of education is very challenged in this day and age. And I'm going to go down with my dying breath trying to promote that, as much as I can. And we'd like to make that an important feature of the work that we do here. So whether we are able to come down mid-year is one issue, but we also do music education workshops while we're here, which the students come and they play for us. It's like a public master class. It's great for the kids. It's great for us. It's great for the community and the parents and the private teachers, and we all come together and experience teaching and our love of music together and have a friendly pizza party, and then they're invited to our concerts and we get to see them throughout the week. So it's a lot of fun.
And then, Adria, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought you did a Skype session a few times with the kids out here.
Well, last season we had three different Skype events where we were, Sam Solomon, our principal timpanist, was Skyping from Boston, and James Hamlin, a trumpet player, and I were Skyping from my living room, and somebody else, Adam Skyped from his living room, and with the elementary school, Wilson Elementary. And then I came down and worked with the kids from that school, and they were on stage with us at one of our concerts last season to play the Toy Symphony by
Leopold.
Either Leopold Mozart, but really not.
Oh.
Probably somebody else, you know. But anyway, and the kids had a great time. We had a great time. It was really exciting. We had a lot of fun. Yeah. And it really enhanced. They have an interdisciplinary curriculum there. So it enhanced their experience, and I have to say for myself, it totally enhanced mine as well, working with them.
Yeah. Now, we have one more concert we haven't talked about, which is the big finale concert, and I guess Esperanza Spalding will be?
Right. Well, we also
and
have
Bula Rock. You guys as string players have to appreciate what she does because, you know, she can sing, and she's playing some syncopated bass rhythm at the same time that she's singing. I mean, she's really an amazing performer.
She is. She's a phenomenon. We also are doing Bula Rock on Friday night.
Ah, Bula Rock.
The outdoor concert at the Bula Rock Nature Preserve, and that's always a lot of fun with fireworks and a lot of other activities that go on. And
barbecue.
Barbecue, right. Buffalo burgers. And the conductor for that, we also invited back Constantine Katsopoulos, who conducted Willow Rock last year. And Constantine has a very varied career of opera, music, Broadway, symphonic work. He's currently conducting Porgy and Bess on Broadway. Now, here's an interesting thing. You ask about the rehearsal possibilities. We were supposed to rehearse with him in New York before we left. However, Porgy and Bess was nominated for 10 Tonys, and Constantine will be conducting on the Tony Award broadcast, which is on Sunday, June 10th, which cuts into the time that we were going to work with him. So we had to shift things around a little bit. But we're excited.
And, you probably want to do the Tonys.
And on that concert, Renan Giddens from the Carolina Chocolate Drops will be singing without her group, just singing as a soprano with us, a repertoire of Edith Piaf, and also a little something from South Pacific, Bali High. And that should be exciting to see her work a little bit away from Carolina Chocolate Drops. But, yes, on the final concert is a very interesting mix of Esperanza Spalding. And on the first half of that concert will be the world premiere of a new piece by Callan Clark, who composed the Wiley Post tone poem that we did last year. Again, this piece will feature, as Wiley Post did, Kyle Dillingham on violin. The piece is called Life Symphony. And then the second half will be Esperanza Spalding. And so she's coming down to play a lot of her solo jazz repertoire, some of which is being arranged by the great Gil Goldstein.
Great arranger.
And some of which is based actually on arrangements by Gil Evans, which is really exciting. And then Esperanza is making what kind of is her classical bass debut, and she'll be playing a work by Vivaldi with a string orchestra with us. So it's very exciting. We rehearsed with her in New York already to give her a little bit of taste of what that'll be like, and it was very wonderful 2 hours that we spent with her. And she really is. She's just a phenomenon, really.
Well, we are looking forward to the festival, as a lot of people do each year. And we'll look forward to seeing these familiar faces on stage.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you so
Rich.
Much for having us.
Adria Benjamin, Adam Gravoy, Bob Zubricki, and Sebu Serenian, the Amici New York String Quartet, previewing the OK Mozart Festival, which begins this Friday evening with opening ceremonies. Concerts begin on Saturday and continue through Saturday, June 17th in Bartlesville. For information, visit okmozart.com or call 918-336-9800. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.